Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to Lather Talk with your hosts, John Shea and Gerard Gustilo.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to Lather Talk. I am very excited for our guest for the show. He is a returning guest, HD Shaves. You might know him from YouTube. He and Gerard kind of miss each other like two ships passing the night last time. But this time I've got them both for you guys. So HD, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Good to be back. And like we were just saying, even better to see Gerard. Not that I don't like you, but I didn't see Gerard last time.
No,
we know who the real star of the show is, you know?
Right. As you say, also, welcome Gerard, you know, faithful co-host who is working through some sickness, a cough, but he is here ready to talk about wet shaving things. So welcome, Gerard.
Yep, good to be back. Good to be here.
Well, we had quite the reaction from our previous episode, which dealt a lot with artisan closings. A lot of people were surprised. Like they knew like there's like two or three maybe brands or artisans had closed up shop, when in fact there were nine that we collected at the time. I think maybe a handful more people might have mentioned to me. Either way, it got people talking, kind of the state of wet shaving. And also Gerard and I got to talk kind of at length about where we are in the hobby. And I think that's kind of where I want to kick off. HD, last time we talked, you know, again, you were doing, you know, regular content creation with YouTube. You had just gotten into straight razor shaving, but I think coming into this episode, it's the landscape's quite different. Can you describe kind of where you are as far as your engagement with the wet shaving hobby?
Sure. Well, I had a great time exploring straight razors. I still have a good collection of them, and I hope to find the encouragement and the motivation to get back to them. However, for the past at least 4 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that, not only have I stepped away from being active on YouTube and Instagram, places like that, but also I've become extremely simple with my gear. I've been using a Rockwell 6S and a synthetic brush and a 4 or 5 year old tub of Bear Stearns Man soap that I'm just going to use until it's gone. So that's sort of my situation. And I get thrilled by seeing the ring of death grow larger in this really old tub of, what's the scent? Lavanil. In the glissant base, which is very old. So that's what's been going on.
Very good. And that reminds me, the topic for today's episode, bring it up right now. When the thrill is gone, if I didn't worry about like copyright and all that stuff, I'd be playing Earth, Wind, and Fire's After the Thrill. What was it?
After the Love?
Gone? After the Love is gone. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm a big fan of Earth, Wind, Fire, but that's what's going in my head right now. We're talking about when the thrill is gone, especially I did not know this when I first approached HD to talk about the topic, but he had some insight to as well, you know, based on last episode, and I thought it'd be great to have him on again, especially I think timing wise he's about to enter a very busy season in his main work as a musician. So we're just really happy to have you on for today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the timing is funny because I could have very well, you know, missed you all, and you could have asked me to do this in 2 months. I don't know, I've said, no, sorry, I'm not interested, or I'm not busy. But it's like the Godfather thing about, I thought I was out and you all pulled me back in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a very nice time to sort of document my feelings. So as a very, you know, introspective person, I look mm-hmm. forward to looking back at this in like 6 months and seeing what I said, because I know it could be very different in some time.
That's totally true. I think, Gerard, we talked about how this hobby, I think most hobbies have a cyclical like nature. So especially when you first get into it, there's like that newbie passion. You want to try everything under the sun. As time goes on, you kind of find out what your favorites are. And then sometimes you get locked into your routine, and then you kind of slip out of the hobby, move on to other things. Or you're like, oh, before I did razors, now I'm going to go into like aftershaves or shaving soaps. And the cycle continues again. We can tackle that part. But first, I wanted to answer the question, how do you engage in the hobby if you're not actively purchasing or looking at new products? And I'm just going to open the floor up to everyone.
You don't. I mean, that's the easy answer, right? I mean, the way I primarily engage is probably through chat forums, whether it's Discord. I've also been active in IRC through Reddit. And that's primarily the main forum that I would say I go on the most. But even then, I think it's just maybe keeping in contact with other people, other friends, stuff like that. I mean, you could also say social media. But I think I always say this on my Instagram, like whenever I post something new, I'm like, sorry, guys, it's been a while. And then I don't post anything for another month. And then and that's pretty much, you know, as far as it goes, right? And engagement takes work, you know, just as much work as just, you know, making purchases. So if I'm not doing that, you know, that's pretty much why, like, something else has my attention, you know, something else has my time.
Okay. So the community engagement is still, and I should also preface this saying, you know, the question isn't to imply that the only part of being a hobbyist is purchasing, but I will say, for me personally, at least, like it does seem like very integrated. Like, if you're not looking at anything, are you really in the hobby? I guess that could be another way I could have asked this question. Any thoughts about that, HD?
Well, yeah, you bring up an interesting point. The nature of, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're in the Lather Talk Discord, if you're in IRC, if you're on Reddit, on YouTube, on Instagram, is that you probably approach this thing with a consumerist mindset, or at least you did in the beginning of you associated, like, moving forward with your knowledge, your engagement by buying things, trying things, etc. And for me, that has left me in the position that I am now, where because I'm not buying things, I haven't bought anything in almost 6 months now, it's more difficult to engage with something if you're accustomed to buying things and then you suddenly no longer buy things. So if I had to do a survey of people who are still hobbyist wet shaving, whatever that means, if they're mm-hmm. still continuing to do it years and years into it, and they're still engaging with the community, I wonder if the people that are still around have adopted some sort of different view of how they engage by not buying things. Do you know what I mean? If they come into it at the beginning with some sort of more holistic, like, oh, I just want to shave better and I don't care about buying a whole bunch of things, I wonder if those people last longer on average than the people who buy all the stuff in the first year, right?
I could see that definitely being the case. Like, how you entered, and then early on, how you enter the hobby might dictate, longevity, and even like how purchase crazy you get. I definitely, I don't know, personally, I can speak for me. Like, I definitely, you know, dove in the deep end and was really into trying stuff until just, I would say, within the past 6 months.
When, if we like stop by a store, right? And maybe we're like just trying out, you know, fragrances and stuff like that. You know, just olfactory fatigue, right? When you just kind of, you just smell so much stuff, it is all, it kind of all blends together. You know, maybe that's the, that's what it is. It's just like almost like capitalist fatigue, right? Like, you know, we've been like purchasing so much that it all kind of blends together. And it's like, is there something that's really new, or is this just, you know, adjacent to something we already have? And therefore stuff doesn't seem as exciting as it used to be, you know? How shiny can red be? Well, I have like sparkly red compared to metallic red compared to regular brick red. I don't know.
Something I thought was, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the three of us are actually doing pretty well, which is to say that there are people that went just as hard into buying things in the beginning, or even more so than we did, that have not made it this long.
they burn brighter but faster.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, definitely brighter, but also definitely faster.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, if somebody feels like they burned really brightly in the beginning and they're still very bright, feel free to let us know. I would be curious to see who those people are, and I'll do a full research and see if, you know, I agree with their own self-assessment. But it just seems like it just can't be good if you're so deep into it so soon, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that is true. You mean like someone within their first month or two of wet shaving and decide to buy like the top 10 razors of like their favorite, post on the favorite channel or like forum, right?
It just can't be good for the long term, you know? It just can't.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
No.
And part of that is that high that you know, you would get, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's
like the drug, and you're just like, ooh, the shiny box. It's Christmas again this week. Now I have five packages instead of just one, and now I get to smell all these new things. And yeah, it's just, you know, the candle that burns brightest burns fastest.
So on a brighter note, I would like to answer John's original question a little bit more directly, which is like, how have I personally continued to stay in contact with the shaving world while I have not bought anything for nearly 6 months? And it has been, I think, a big part of it, and a big part of lots of hobbies for me, has been the personal one-on-one interaction with people. And of course, it's easiest to do that online, but I really appreciate the people that I have seen in person. I have some local shaving friends here in Chicago, and also people that have visited in the past 6 months that have taken the time to, you know, make plans to meet up. The fact that I've been able to see those people in person has really helped me stay connected a little bit, because they've updated me on what's been going on. And there's something about that in-person thing that is special when your hobby is mostly online, right?
I think that's the biggest takeaway, kind of after hearing both of your responses. And I think it's like, I wrote this in my own notes, like, make actual friends with people within the hobby and then go on to talk about other shared interests, life, and etc. It certainly sounds like that you know, you're kind of, I think both of you guys are doing that to some degree.
Yeah, I'm not talking about shaving with these people when I see them in person. I mean, we talk about it for 10%, and that 10% is valuable, and I don't want to lose that 10%. But no, you're talking about other stuff. You're talking about life, or, you know.
Within that 10%, though, how much of it is like community drama and like you know, like the gossip? Is it a healthy portion of that 10%?
I would say there's been some more drama in my neck of the woods in the past 6 months, and okay. So yeah, I do sometimes ask people for an update on how things are going.
I ask that because that's what it would be for me. Like whatever small percentage, like I just want to what's the dish? You know, like what's the tea?
What's the tea?
in our whoever like the mutuals in within the mutual circle, like if so and so is still even around and it, you know that kind of thing.
Have you all experienced this in previous hobbies where you disconnect from the hobby basically entirely, but then you still get together in person with a few people, and that keeps you somewhat connected to it, but then that eventually fizzles out because of whatever reason? Have you all experienced that?
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
I haven't had this since I was maybe in high school or the very beginning of college, but I'm trying to reflect on if there's a way that I can, I just don't want it to be this the same end result as it was 10 years ago. So I'm trying to think about the best ways to stay in touch with people in a meaningful way that's not just out of convenience or normalcy, you know?
I want to say, like, I remember hearing something about how typically, like, you change your group of friends, like, every 7 years or so. It was something along those lines, 7 to 8 years. And it's not because of anything in particular. Nothing has to particularly like go wrong. It's just that like who you are now is way different than who you were 7 years ago or in multiples of that 14 years ago, et cetera. So you're kind of at a different point. You're at a different, you know, part of your life. Mm-hmm. So it's just natural for, you know, for people like to, you know, kind of do their own thing and venture apart, make new friends, et cetera. And I would say it's very much like that. But yeah, like, I mean, I hardly talk to anyone I talk to in high school.
Yeah, right. It's the same
thing. It's just like, was there any sort of fallout? No, you just move on. Different paths. You encounter new people. Get to know those new people, and that's it. You know, you go from there. I think it's very much the same thing in the shaving hobby, you know, or anything else.
Yeah, I think something I've learned as I've gotten older and matured is because I value the one-on-one connection so much, I used to get upset when I would realize that I had lost some people that used to be very important to my social life. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to accept that certain people are only maybe meant to be in your life for a certain amount of years, and it's okay if it just fizzles out. I used to have a hard time accepting that, like, oh, well, I didn't have an issue with this person. It, like, it wasn't like we had any disagreement, but just time went on and all of a sudden we hadn't talked for a year. And I remember I used to kind of struggle with that. But now I'm becoming, I mean, I'm not totally fine, but I'm getting better at being okay of accepting this thing of like certain things are only meant to last for years. Right.
And I mean, along the same lines too, some people are really good at maintaining that connection. Right. I know there's one friend I really appreciate. I need to respond back to an email chain that we've had for a long time. But like he's always, inevitably after there's been a radio silence for a while, not from like any, you know, just from distance, not from any like fight or anything like that. He's always very good about contacting me. And I'm like, dang it, I wish I was like my friend, like my friend Ed. I think all of us should have someone, at least like one person in our life like that, who can kind of be a catalyst and remind us to get us off our butts and you know, again, to reach out, reconnect with someone from the past.
Not getting enough drama, talking smack, or hooligan hijinks from your regular forums, social media, or Reddit? Well, the Lather Talk Discord is not for you. Sorry to disappoint. But if you're looking for a cool place to hang out with fellow traditional shaving degenerates, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware, software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and
What do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Reddit has some great examples of what I want to talk about next. Community challenges. And we had mentioned to the Discord, you know, what are this very question, like, if you're not buying new shit, how do you engage with the hobby? And I think it was Ben from House of Mammoth that gave this as example. So things like the Lather Games, Austere August, or I know there's some other Discords or groups that do like theme weeks, and everyone gets another theme week, and it might either highlight an artisan or be like, you know, like, oh, it's old school week, so you know, everyone's doing like vintage products, stuff like that. Community challenges, like what's been either of your experiences engaging with those?
So I'm still set to judge the Lather Games this year, which is sort of maybe surprising. And that has been pushed to July, if anybody's interested. It's typically in June, but we, due to some changing of the guard, we needed an extra month. And I think the interesting thing about Lather Games, Austere August, where you use the same thing for the whole month, something that was said to me years ago and I didn't quite understand it, but now in my position, I really understand it, is when you're operating at low thrill, when the thrill is gone, mm-hmm. you don't want to have to make choices about what to use. You want to told what to use. So Austere August is very simple, right? You just use the same thing. And for instance, this year, I would have no problem doing that challenge because I have no interest to try other things. So I could just use the same thing all month, right?
Sure.
Lather Games requires a little bit more thought, but it's still the idea that there's a theme for each day and you can just read the theme and go based on that, right?
Yeah.
So I think I will have no issue doing those in July and August, for instance, because there is something about not having to pick that makes the whole process more enjoyable.
Makes sense. How about you, Gerard? Are you going to do Lather Games this year?
No, probably not. I don't know. It's in July. We still have like a month and a half, so maybe I'll change my mind. I haven't participated in like three years.
Okay.
I think it was probably the beginning of the pandemic. So yeah, it would have been 2020. That was the only year I did it. The only thing I remember is that it was exhausting. And maybe some people, like, you know, they're very good where they will just, you know, take every single day, they'll put everything in a bag, they'll pre-set up everything. I didn't really do that. I generally did that. I had, you know, I have a lot of soaps and splashes and stuff and whatnot, but, you know, I'd be like, okay, this week I think I can choose these things. This week I can choose these things. I'd give myself about a week in advance to do it. But then just doing it, you know, was not very quickly. I think that was the thing with it, is like when I finished, I was like, I didn't enjoy having to think about it every single day for 30 days, or now it'll be 31 days, right? July's 31 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And maybe that was just like how I took it. You know, maybe if I did, you know, just take some effort to really break it down day by day in advance, maybe I'd have a better time. But it wasn't like, I'm not going to say like I had a bad time. Like it was definitely enjoyable. It wasn't like the worst thing I've ever done. You know, as if it's like, you know, just shaving every day is this horrifically, you know, like torturous, you know, task to do. But I think, like you said, you know, HD, about doing something like Austere August, I didn't really have an interest to do that either, you know, to just use the same thing every day. Because if that was the case, I would just want to shave with the same thing once every 3 days. But who knows? Maybe I'm in that point where, yeah, I just want to, like, you know, start going for some tub kills and mm-hmm. just start, you know, knocking, you know, take just something I have and just see if I can just, like, knock it out of the park already.
I mean, that's basically what's going on with me is I realized today, I said, I should look into this before we do this podcast. I said, how long have I actually been using the same thing? I think it's 24 days.
Wow.
So, but I didn't set out any particular amount of time. I just said, I'm just going to use this until I get sick of it or I finish it, right? Whichever comes first. And I woke up today and checked and it was 24 days. So, and you know, that was the thing that they used to warn you about doing Austere August too, is if going into August, if your thrill was already kind of shaky,
yeah,
they would say, don't do it because you'll get to the end of it and you'll say, oh, I can just do this all the time. So why would I not just be more simple, with the way I pick my gear, you know? And that kind of had an effect on me one of the years. I forget if it was no. That's actually what happened to me last year, was in an attempt to save my thrill. I said, I'm not doing it because so I just delayed it like 5 months.
but it still came back around to get you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was good, right? It gave me 4 or 5 extra months.
It did.
So you have to think about that in your, you know, outlook.
Question for you, HD. I would say me and Jordan are kind of similar places where I would say kind of the umbrella topic or sort of umbrella approach for both of us is like just use what we're enjoying, whatever in our huge collection of things, right? For you, like is a large like shaving soap collection or razor collection, is that an issue for you at all currently? And was it ever a source of stress for you at the height of the thrill?
I would say as time has gone on, I don't associate the products I use with quality or end result as much as I do ease of use. So the reason why I have stuck with the Rockwell, which let the record show on the like surface, I kind of hate that razor. Like,
really?
It's heavy. I think it's ugly. I think it's ugly as all get out. But it's so easy to use. I mean, I've never had a difficult shave with that razor ever. So that's why I'm using it now. I'm not using it because I think it looks good, or I'm trying to get, you know, points with the cool kids for using some really obscure old razor.
Us cool shaving kids.
Yes, you all are the kids.
The Elder Council of Shaving has said that the first commandment is thou shalt not use a fugly razor, you know?
It's, I don't know. Do you all think that design is pretty?
It's serviceable. Serviceable. I've seen worse.
I'm not going to say ugly, but I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, like, yeah, the razor's so easy to use, and I get good results. So,
and I've given away like 3 or 4 six C's over the years to people. That's why I still don't own a six C's, because I would give it away and then get another one, and then I give it away. It's like I can't hold on to those. But yeah, so I'm associating it with how easy it is to use.
Sure.
Same reason for the synthetic brush. It's like you know, you don't have to think when you use that. That's I don't care that the Barrister and Man soap base is old. Like that is not even remotely a thought that enters my mind. Or the same thing about it just works. I mean, if it didn't work, like if it foamed up and couldn't like hold a suitable lather, then I wouldn't use it. I mean, there is a line. Right. But I've been like this with soaps for maybe a year now, where I'm not really worried about performance. But I think the community in general has kind of come that way, as all of the artisans have continued to kind of raise the average soap based quality. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's my long answer to your question.
It's all good. Didn't know you felt that way about the Rockwell, but Like Gerard said, like I get it. It's you can go on autopilot, and I never thought too long and hard about the aesthetics of it, because it just it does what it does well. So yeah.
I mean, we've kind of had this conversation a bit, John. Like, you know, what's on your Mount Rushmore of like razors, right?
Oh yeah, and yeah.
Even then, like outside of you know, just general use, I'm gonna get like a 99% BBS shave with most of them. So why do I need to have 20 razors, 30, 40, 50 razors? What do you have to have different ones and, you know, the same razor in different gaps, different, you know, aesthetics.
Different metals, right? The same razor, even.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're just, like you said, like I could literally have something. I know I'm going to get a great shave. I'm not going to, you know, butcher up and slice up my face, and I'll be fine forever. Like we're kind of at that point.
Yeah.
I'll mention that I was using the aluminum Carve Overlander for longer than 24 days, maybe 2 months. I was really loving that razor. I remember when I was still making videos, I would just use it every week and be like, this thing is great. I'm still using it. Go try one. Okay, here's the rest of the video, you know. Yeah. And I think I had one kind of so-so week with shaving with that razor. It was probably the blade, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't bother to try a different blade in it. And I said, I mean, this is fine. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good. So I said, let's try the Rockwell, because I know that's going to be fine. And so then maybe once I get a bum blade and put it in the Rockwell, then I'll go back to the to the car.
To the Overlander. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my logic at this point. which doesn't make sense. But I've seen some people do this Dentor thing where they use a different soap each shave until they've done every soap in their collection.
Mm.
And if you don't have that many soaps, I think it's a good idea. If you're certain people on YouTube, it would take you, you know, several years to get through every soap if you were shaving every day. So maybe don't.
But yeah, I couldn't pull that off.
Yeah. I think that's a nice idea, though, for people in our situation. Yes. Who
appreciate
have
which appreciate what you have. That's it. Within like, I don't know how many is too many for that to work. Under 50 for sure it's okay.
Yeah, I'm really proud to say that I'm under.
I'd say 1 month. 30.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
I'm at 40 or 50 soaps now, which I think is just fantastic. Which is sad, but I think that's just
But it doesn't tremendous. cause you stress, right? Like no. you're not like that, because I'm still trying to get out of the. I have too many soaps that are not all, you know, kind of being appreciated. So, gotta keep chugging away. How to just either give them away, sell what I can, or whatever.
Right, I think maybe after I finish this Barrister and Man tub, I'll try the Dentor thing, at least for soaps. If I'm only changing one thing. I think I can handle that, but if I had to Dentor like razors and aftershaves, I couldn't handle it. But maybe that's the move for soaps. So yeah,
I'm gonna take that idea at least. Like yeah, it could work with razors too. Mm-hmm. To find out what's really not really find out what's not making the cut anymore. Oh, that's a bad pun. I did not intend to make that stupid razor pun there, but. I'm very displeased with myself. And so is Julian.
Yeah. That was definitely him.
Have you all done the state of the state hobby? Of shame. Yeah.
No, we barely talked. Yeah, we barely talked about it. You know, really.
Okay.
Do you want to share your thoughts? You're free to share your thoughts, because I feel like that last episode's topic was of interest to you.
Well, I'm thinking about it because I'm wow. I mean, that's crazy. This is time really flies. So the Maggard meetup is happening in under a month. And
are you going?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't think I knew that. So it'll be a pleasure to meet you in person.
Oh, great, man. Oh,
so yeah. You are going.
I am going. Did I not tell you? Okay. I'm bad friend.
Yeah, John. Bad friend right here. I think I remember seeing you plug it, like either in the Discord or on YouTube, and I thought, oh well, that's nice of John to plug it, but he's not gonna come.
No, then I flip flopped because I wasn't so sure because I haven't been to any large social gatherings since before pandemic, so I think a little bit of that paranoia was creeping in. But like my wife, super supportive of this stupid hobby and all my endeavors in it, was like, you're gonna regret it if you don't go. And it doesn't matter how like your thrill level of the hobby, because I am a social person, lean extrovert mm-hmm. over introvert, and she's like, you should go, and so I did.
And I think she's right in like a very kind of sad way, but she doesn't mean it in this way, which is to say, this might be the last time or the only time that you can see some of these people. Artisans.
Yeah. Yeah.
People like me, like I, you know.
Like a snapshot of this time. Right.
Yeah.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
Because I mean, this is very selfish, but like, it's like, I'm going, and if this is my last time, like, then that's the last time that you meet somebody like me who was connected to the last 4 years so much. Right.
Sure. Sure.
I feel like I sort of have to go because of my proximity to the event. And we had organized a couple informal meetups there for the past 2 years. And I was, involved in putting those together, and they were super fun, and I'm very thankful to all the people who came out to those. But obviously, it's no substitution for the real thing with hundreds of people and that awesome building that they have in Adrian, Michigan. So and you know, I've never been to a full one. I've only done these smaller ones that I help kind of organize, and so I'm really excited to meet everybody. And I was saying something about the Maggard meet. Yeah, so it's less than a month away. Oh, and I've just been thinking, like, what are people going to be talking about? Because I know Brad Maggard and some of the other artisans, like their perspective on where the hobby is from, like a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. I know their perspective. I kind of know how I'm feeling about it as like a consumer, hobbyist, whatever you want to call. And I don't know. It might be kind of weird. Something that we've talked about is, which I think is good, and we should emphasize this, is maybe we need to go back to the old thing of we should try to spread the word with new people more than we have been. Maybe we used to be more active with it when we first got introduced to this years ago. But if we want this thing to continue, it's obviously like financially, it's not going to continue to grow on my behalf. It has to grow on other people's and potentially with new people, right? So I honestly think that should be a point that is discussed when we're all there next month.
Maybe that should be the topic when you're over there.
I mentioned it kind of in passing to a couple people, and they were all kind of on the same page that would seem to be like, if we want this thing to continue to grow or even stay the same, we have to think about the future, right? And the future looks bleak to me without the inclusion of new people.
So what you're saying is we need to get like a real TikTok influencer to to use the Rockwell 6S or something else, and
a celebrity or athlete perhaps.
Logan Paul, where's the Prime energy drink collab with I think Blackline would be good for that. Would be like something that would go together. I don't know.
Well, and you bring up a good point that maybe for the people where the future looks bleak, they're all like me in that we're not up on the newest technology. Like, I don't know anything about making a reel or a short or a TikTok. And maybe those platforms are doing a good job at bringing new people in, and I just don't hear about it because I'm not engaged with those areas. So maybe to somebody like Shane of Blackland, who I consider to be very up on technology and social media. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I remember reading he was answering a question on a forum that he feels like business has been good, and he does feel like that there's growth and things like that. So maybe it's some aspect of technology, social media, that some of these more old school people like me have to consider to really see the whole picture, right?
Overall, despite, like, let's say, like, in light of the closings and whatnot, I think that's just like a combination of people who have been in it a long time and were already slowing down, and it's just time to put, especially if it was like a side hustle, it's just time to move on, because like family calls or other interests, and that's totally, you know, like, I wish them well, right, in whatever journey they're going on next. So I don't think it was too many where it's like they're closing up shop because not enough people are buying from them. Having talked to some people who are artisans or vendors, like, overall sales, to my knowledge, they're definitely not as high as they were in the pandemic, because a lot of people were trying new hobbies, were trying new things, and just bored out of their minds. So, you know, they're buying more than they should have, and that's just reality. So a lot of things are kind of going back to normal, and I think, unfortunately, maybe like this dip this year might be affected by that. But I think some market correction, or like, you know, like, if there's people who kind of just been kind of hanging on, this is the time where it's they're gonna close up shop because it's already is going that way, and it's finally like the last, you know, the last straw has now happened. And then for someone new to enter that, because like tons of artisans came in over the pandemic, even before, and I think it's just like it definitely, like, everyone's saying it's oversaturated. Mm-hmm. So I think the bar, like what your average is, you got to come a little harder. Those who can do the reels, who can do the make use of the free marketing tools, I think that's who's gonna be able to survive in the long haul.
I just think it would be better for the longevity of individual people's interest, and also it would be better for the longevity of the hobby in general. You would rather have, let's see if I can put numbers on this.
Okay.
Yeah. You would rather have 100 people buy one soap from Barrister and Man than 10 people buy 10 soaps each from Barrister and Man. I would think that you would always rather have more individuals that are engaging rather than only smaller people that are engaging perhaps too much, right?
Yes.
But as artisans have probably that, you know, have tried this and know better than me, as just somebody who's, you know, speculating, it's just a naturally limited market. And unless there's a scene in a James Bond movie where they shave them with a straight razor to bump up the interest, it's just always going to be capped at a certain point, maybe. Yeah. But that's me trying to think optimistically about what the future may look like if we're able to bring in new people, and perhaps emphasize with them more than we did in, say, 2020.
Yeah.
Perhaps emphasize with them, you don't have to buy 10, just buy one. And when you finish the one, then get a second one, you know? And say things like, it'll be better for you long term and better for your wallet, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe that would help. Maybe.
It almost sounds like you're describing a non-hobbyist, which I would have to agree with. It'd be better to have just someone convert to traditional wet shaving as opposed to going like all the way in as a hobbyist, because it's more right. It's more sustainable if there's more of those types of customers.
Right. And to be fair, I think there have always been plenty of people like that will only use Parasso for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Yep.
But you don't hear about them because they're not, you know, shaving in a hobbyist way. They're just doing it as something they have to do. And when their puck of Parasso runs out, they buy another one from Shave Nation or Maggard Razors. And then
sure.
Like, that's it, you know? But I think this is maybe the actionable thing. I'm using a business word now.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you. I think the hobbyists need to be more supportive of the people that just buy the one commercial soap. And
gotcha.
Because I don't think we should look as negatively on those people as maybe I have in the past. That's a perfectly fine way to do this, you know.
Would you say like where you are now is that, are you envious? Like someone could just engage in that way where they changed over from cartridge and they're buying their tub or tube of Parasso.
Tube, maybe
a tub of Tobs.
Tobs.
And whatnot. And they re-up once, maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm. What a simple way to handle things, right?
I mean, I did it for like 5 years
before turning into a silly hobbyist.
Yeah, it was literally an accident. You know, like said this story a million times. Got Parasso, shitty ass Badger brush, 34C, or it was the long handle, the 33C or whatever.
23C,
the long long three piece, and then and then I met one of our friends who was in the hobby, and I went to his house, and I'm just like, what is all this? Like, this is this traditional shaving. I'm like, this is not traditional shaving. It's like, he had like 30 soaps at the time, and I think it got worse after that. Then I think he took me to a local meetup, and that was it. After 4 years, it was just 4 years of like, and I was good in my world of you know, Astra Greens, 23C, Parasso. I probably would have gotten a synthetic brush eventually,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's where it is. I definitely think there's something to, you know, evangelizing the hobby to others, specifically to people who you might know that just shave terribly or maybe they just need, you know, you just know that they're just probably not doing it the right way. And I mean, you see stuff out there, whether it's for like the one blade or like was it manscaped.com or like one of those, you know, like just like electric just the trimmers and
sure,
you know, like a company needs to like just be persistent on those social media forums, right? Oddly enough, I don't even think I told you about this, John. Like, it was like last month, I got a suggested ad for Henson, and it was the long commercial with what's his name? The one we spoke with,
Daniel.
And so it was like an extended ad, you know, like for like probably went for like 2 minutes, and I think it has like 3,000 comments, something on that, like, you know, like, so I know it's getting around.
Yeah,
from that end, those are just like the little things that you know you have to do a million of those things and hope that one of them eventually sticks,
yeah,
you know, with a group of people.
Henson's doing good things. I would love to ask that guy about how business has been Because I was very aware of them when they first kind of came out. I watched the chat interview that you all did with him. Yeah, it's funny. Like that's a razor that I wanted to not like.
Sure.
A year or two ago. And now when I think about that razor, all I can think of is the potential, outreach it could have because of their marketing and success. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. Like nothing's more important to me now than how many people can you reach with this? And I feel kind of foolish to reflect on how I used to think about it, right?
And even how he talks about it in the ad, it's like, because how much is it now? 80, 79?
I think it's gone up. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But even then, $79, he's just like, he puts up like, he's like, oh, here's 100 blades. It'll last you 3 years, 5 years, and it's $12 or whatever,
Yeah.
And it's like what we classically say, right? Like how much is like, even from Costco or Sam's Club, how much is like a 16 pack of like Gillette Fusion or whatever the current thing is, right? It's probably around that, like 50 yeah, bucks for just, like, yeah. For four packs of four, something like that. Crazy.
I'm remembering too that this is something I've thought about when it comes to videos on my channel.
Mm-hmm.
If I really want to have more engagement or not that I care about views, but just to put it in a more simple term, if I want more views on my videos,
yeah,
I should make ones that are more general and not as hobby specific. And that's something that I've just put off doing for years and years. And I kind of dabbled in that when I did my gem razor video a few months ago. People have been asking me to do that for a while. And somebody more recently went as far as to say like, hey, you should make this video talking about gems for beginners. Maybe it'll reignite your thrill. And that had a lot more engagement than a normal video that I would do, right? So I should probably do more beginner oriented videos on my channel in the future. That's something that I think would definitely be good.
HD, I don't know if you saw that there's a YouTuber, her name's Michelle Carre, and she does a lot of just like I studied chess for 2 months and I tried to play a chess grandmaster, or I tried to train for 2 months and I ran my first marathon or something like that. And then a few years ago, I think it was popping up on the algorithm on YouTube of, it was something like, she had turned into a series. Let me see. It was like, I tried 5 different types of hair removal. And then it turned into, I got my legs professionally shaved by a barber, to, we tried men's versus women's razors. And then we tried every shaving subscription service. And I remember in one of those videos, I think it was the men's versus women's or something like that, she ended up using like a DE, like a twist open, razor, and whatnot. And yeah, she said, she's like, in these videos are getting anywhere between 5 million views to like half a million views to 5 million views. But I remember watching it and she said like, yeah, like the safety razor was the easiest, was the best, or it had the best results. And so I don't, is it as far as, just being more generic as far as like your YouTube titles, like that's probably where some of like the content creation like element, lies, because you could do the same video, have 5 different titles.
Yeah.
And depending on which one hits that algorithm the best, will feed into, you'll get the views on those videos, right? And then you have people, like whether it's Ken Cerf, Sinatra Lennon, some of the other like YouTubers, like with which is crazy, kind of like how you know, five figure like subscriptions and stuff like that still. Mm-hmm. And they're just chatting about whatever. They're not really chatting about the products and the shave itself, you know. They just become that personality, right? Like that is the content that's being offered.
Yeah.
It's different. Cause some people that like, you're like, that's not me. Like, I don't know if I have the energy to do that. And whatnot. And some people, you know, it's just exactly who they are and they've just found their success with it. It's just an interesting thing to think about, I think.
Yeah. I think our whole perception of the numbers part of this thing is totally skewed by the fact that we are in the, you know, we're in the 1% of the 1%, right? Or the niche of the niche. Yeah. So I think it's important to calibrate your senses every now and then by talking to people that have a foot in the normal traditional shaving business,
the regular world.
Yeah. And that person for me has always been Brad Maggard. He occasionally has shared some info with us about just general trends and sometimes more specific like sales within his business. And every time, you know, he's talked to me about this half a dozen times in the amount of time that I've known him, and every time it like shocks me in some way, like oh yeah, well, you know, Parasa is going this way, but tobacco is going this way, and then all of that is like three times all of this, you know. Or I'm going off the screen here, but like it's always shocking to like hear some of the data points that he has. I would like to incorporate that more into my own engagement, I guess, and not worry about the niche stuff as much, maybe.
We have been, also just want to make note, we have been talking for just a little bit over an hour now. So I do want to be mindful of that and to kind of just to wind things down. HD and Gerard, if there is one thing that you could change in the wet shaving hobby, however you want to find that, what would it be?
And I'm going to, you know, since we're kind of in that general idea of like growing the hobby, what I would just simply say is that communicating to people, not even like wet shaving is being quote unquote better than using a cartridge, just the fact that it's available as an option. Because we can go to our big box stores right now and it's still going to be Dollar Shave Club, Harry's, Gillette cartridges and stuff like that. And you might be lucky if you see the most suspicious looking pack, a single, and that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
You're not carrying 100. It's going to be a single pack of 10 blades for $4.97. You know, and so I don't blame people because they don't know any better. If people knew about it and everything, that would be a good start in general.
You mentioned a great point, which I'm surprised didn't come up when we were going down this whole rabbit hole, but I think it's wrong to present this way of shaving to new people as better. I don't think that's the right wording to use. It should be more about improving your technique, and in sort of like a sales pitch way, I think what you said, Gerard, is good. Of like, it is available. You know, what a great thing of connecting the old with the new. It's somehow this old way of doing things, but because of the technology, there's all this new stuff out there. And I think somehow not claiming it to be better, I think that improves the sales pitch, if you will. I'm happy to say mine, which I didn't think about for long, but I wanted Gerard to answer first. I think you should always use what you enjoy and not what you think other people would enjoy or what other people tell you to enjoy. Whether you're in my situation, whether you're first or whether you're just starting off, you should try to use what you like as often as possible, even though sometimes there will be circumstances that limit you from doing that. That's the most important thing.
I'll go a different direction. And this is for the niche within the niche. Stop buying so many soaps. Just, you have too many soaps. Yes, I'm talking to you. If you're listening or watching, you have too many soaps. Calm the F down. That's it. That's all I got.
That was very frightening. That was a stern talking to.
That dad voice coming out.
Yeah, it wasn't Asian enough, in my opinion. Just letting you know.
It wasn't what?
It wasn't Asian enough, you know.
Oh no. It wasn't. No,
when you get the tone right, it just strikes fear into your heart. It's just like.
That's great. Thanks, guys, for playing along with that last wrap up. Was that positive? No, but I think it was impactful. It was impactful. I did like the insight that you both had, and then I had to bring the stern dad energy with my answer. But all that being said, HD, I want to thank you so much for coming on to today's show. It was really great just kind of talking about these topics, even on, you know, to have so much insight and just good things to say, even when your thrill is, you know, currently at a low point. I think we definitely, you know, the door is still open. Maybe we'll catch you after your gig schedule is on the lighter side and see where you are. I think I said this about straight razor shaving last time, but the offer still stands. We'll maybe catch you in a few months. And see where you're with wet shaving. We'd love to have you back again.
Oh, that would be great. These have been, we're two for two on podcasts, I would say. So thank you all for having me. And once again, I must highlight, Gerard is here. He's present.
Yes.
That's
somehow.
I mean, I knew it was going to be good. So.
Yes, he just knew. That's Gerard. Right. And Gerard, again, thank you for powering through, through the sickness. Great.
I'll have another one to add on our next recording. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. And I think we will tackle that as HD had asked, like what the state of the, you know, wet shaving, state of the union, wet
shaving.
The state of shaving address. I think we'll have to put some more thought into it, but it's good. I think we got a good start going. So, HD, Gerard, it's been a pleasure. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. All our socials and whatnot will be in the description. Go check it out, whether you're on Instagram, YouTube, and other places. We really appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate your support and hope to catch you next time. Take care now.